What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm with Larry Johnson. Now, Larry Johnson is former CIA intel analyst. How many years did you work within the CIA? Was it over 20 years?
Oh no, are you kidding? I lasted 4 years. I got fed up and left. I went from the management at CIA is just awful, absolutely awful. So I left there after 4 years. But my last year there, I got two exceptional performance awards. I can show those to you here. And I moved to State Department, the Office of Counterterrorism.
Wow.
And
Okay, so when
so.
you say that the CIA was just unmanageable, just unbelievable, are you talking about just disorganized or just totally corrupt or both?
So I was the regional analyst for Central America,
Wow.
and I had been the Honduran analyst prior to that, when Honduras was one of the top five foreign policy priorities, believe it or not, back in 1986, 87, 88. And so this was 1989. I got a new branch chief. She came out of Africa. Her background was in Africa. She didn't know one thing about Central America. I'd lived in Honduras. I speak Spanish. I'm almost a native speaker. And we were asked every morning. This was back. You will find this funny, I think. This is back in the day where we show up in the morning and you had to read through a stack of paper about this high, because the messages weren't on email. We weren't getting electronic messages. It was all paper. So I
Jeez.
was asked to go through this, stack of 200 pages, and pull out messages that I thought that the front office should see, and that I felt were important, that they were the most salient. Well, unbeknownst to me, my branch chief, she was doing the same thing. The problem was she had no expertise on anywhere in Central America, much less Honduras and the conflict with the Contras and the Sandinistas. And so she was pulling out stuff that was just crap.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know this was going on. So I came up, it was time for promotion. I go in to sit down. I was in the top 10% of analysts in terms of writing for current production. I was writing for the presidential daily brief probably twice a week. I was a good briefer. I had written what they call a hardcover. So I checked all the boxes for promotion. And I walked in, they said, "Well, we're not going to promote you because we got questions about the integrity of your analysis." And I went, "What?" So I get a little bit of Irish in me. I was furious, and came to find out that this boss I had named Mary, she was sending up a different set of messages than what I was sending. And instead of a manager, the first day when they get two different sets of paper, calling us both in saying, "Larry, why are you giving me this and as opposed to what Mary's giving me?" And I could have explained to know what she's doing, but I would have said, cleaned it up and made it diplomatic. Instead, they let this go on for like a month.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's so at that point I said, I'm getting out of here. I was fed
So is
up.
it
I went.
not as organized as people think it is?
Are you familiar with the cartoon character Dilbert?
No, but I can imagine.
Yeah,
Is that the one that's
it's a
Warner
clown.
Brothers?
Oh, no, it's Dilbert is this pudgy, short, unattractive bureaucrat, and so yeah. No, listen, the CIA. I could keep. We could spend the entire hour. I can give you one story of incompetence after another.
Wow.
So and it's politicized, but it just it's a bureaucracy, big bureaucracy, and as such, it tends to serve the bureaucracy as opposed to, pursuit of truth.
All right, folks, before we go any further, this is going to be one hell of a podcast. I got to say, it's going to be big. What if I told you that nearly half of thyroid patients in a clinical study stopped needing thyroid medication just after 10 red light sessions? That's right. In a groundbreaking Brazilian trial, 47% of patients with underactive thyroids discontinued their medicine entirely and maintained normal thyroid function for months. How? because red light therapy directly stimulates a mitochondria in your thyroid gland, folks, which helps regenerate tissue, reduce inflammation, and restore natural hormone production. The secret is the wavelength. Red light delivers all nine healing wavelengths, including the powerful 830 nanometer range used in the study, so your thyroid gets precisely the stimulation it needs for rebalance. No drugs, no needles, just light therapy. If you want to tap into this breakthrough yourself, go to myredlight.com. Use the code Nino. Get 10% off, folks. Get started on that. All right, Larry. Wow. So let's talk about for a second before we get into what's happening today. Obviously, the big, beautiful bills on the verge of being passed. A lot of politicians don't want it to. The deep state's fighting Trump. I mean, it's a war behind the scenes. I feel like we're in that season or that window of terrorist attacks on our soil. I think this summer could be a very hot summer. Lots of fireworks, if you know what I mean. And I want to get your intel on that. But first, before we get into that, I want to talk about a friend of yours, an actual friend of yours, who I saw on YouTube many, many times. Talking about the war in Ukraine, giving his opinions on it. U.S. finally confirms American dating coach. I guess he was a dating coach turned Kremlin shill, died in Ukraine. So he started off talking about dating on YouTube, correct? And then he went into the truth about Ukraine war.
Well, I was just going to say that he started off giving advice to young guys in their late teens, early 20s about how to be men and how to deal with women, and he was he'd been married at least once, I think, and he was now in Ukraine. He'd married again and had a couple of small kids. He was a very engaging guy, smart, spokes two or three different languages, and a good analyst. And so I forget how we first came in touch with each other, but he reached out to me because I had been writing and doing some commentary on the war in Ukraine early on, and reached out, and then we did several podcasts together, just like you and I are doing.
I remember he was very voice opinionated on what was happening in Ukraine, and in many times I'd see him on video almost like in fear of his life. He was very worried, correct?
He was always cautious to not show what was happening outside the apartment. He wasn't giving locations away, but he was very critical of what the Ukrainian government was doing. And finally, they came and arrested him, put him in jail. While he was in jail, he was being extorted by criminal gangs, and ultimately, through the harsh treatment, they killed him.
And he was in constant contact with you, correct?
We were well, when he was out of jail, we were in regular contact. Once he went in, it was just sporadic after that. And I know that he did try. He was jailed. They let him out. He got on his motorcycle. He was trying to figure out how to flee the country. And as he was doing that, he called me. It was probably like 8, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. in the morning where he was. Well, that's 7 hours earlier here. So that was like 3, 2, or 3 in the morning here, and I was in bed. My phone was turned off, and I didn't get the call.
Oh
And
no.
that's the last contact I had with him. He then was disappeared into the prison system and was killed.
Jeez, it's such a sad story. And I remember following him when all of this was going down and happening. I remember watching his videos, man. He had some of the greatest intel out there.
He's an American citizen and was abandoned by the Biden administration and the State Department.
So, but he couldn't go to the U.S. Embassy and try to seek shelter
Well,
there.
yeah, he was the embassy would have turned him over to Ukrainian authorities.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's what it was
Yeah.
like under that administration for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fast forward to today. I wanted to touch on that briefly, but where we're at today with Trump, obviously, I want to get your opinion on it. Completely different administration. Things have changed. America looks perceivably like it's going the right way. Do you have opinion on that?
Well, let's Domestically, I agree. I think we're moving in the right direction. I mean, particularly getting control of the illegal immigration that
Immigration.
has flooded the country. But, as we're discovering, you saw that Trump came under pressure from restaurant owners and hotels because it didn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It is just there are Republicans who are making as much money off of illegals as there are Democrats.
Oh, I know. They turned that around, though. They stopped that.
It's just this. If I saw the news story wrong, that Trump was getting pressure to lighten up
Well,
on that.
I heard about the hotels and what farms that he was
Yeah,
allowing
farm
them
workers.
to. Yeah, but I heard they. I brought that out on my podcast, and I shined a light on it. So did some other podcasters. But I heard they turned it around. I'm not fully sure,
There
but I
was,
know we put a light on that. Yeah, it was
in
like what.
fact, even here in Florida, believe it or not, there was pressure to not fully go comply with getting rid of the illegals because so many of them are employed by farmers to pick crops.
Right.
So my
So,
point is
yeah.
that we get this political rhetoric, and then we get the actual where the money's involved. And I always believe in follow the money. In fact, what I've, part of my consulting business over the last 24 years has been focused on doing international financial investigations, tracking money laundering, tracking product counterfeiting. So domestic, we're okay. The concern I have is on the international front. Trump made I took him at his word that he was going to stop getting us in needless wars, and he seems to be not following through on that. The war in Ukraine would be over now if the United States simply pulled our personnel out, stopped the flow of money and arms, and stopped the flow of intelligence. That war would be over. Instead, we're continuing to send all the money, the weapons that were approved during Biden. They're still in the pipeline, still going forward. We're still sharing intelligence. So we've got that.
And who
And
would know
then,
better than a CIA intel analyst, right?
well, I just, we've, this entire war was provoked by us. And you can see over my shoulder, there's a book by Scott Horton. He's written an extensive document of how. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, the Russians were promised by then Secretary, Chief of Staff to the White House, James Baker, Secretary of State, that NATO would not expand one inch east. Well, we broke that promise. In fact, Russia made several attempts to join NATO. The last one was like in 2000, 2001. Putin made a direct appeal to George W. Bush, turned down. Why? Well, NATO is it's a moneymaker for our defense industry, and it was the first one to expand NATO to the east was Bill Clinton, and just 2 weeks after we expanded NATO, we brought in Poland, Romania, and Slovakia, I believe. Or the three at that time, NATO started a war in Serbia just 2 weeks after that. Serbia at the time was considered a friend and ally of Russia. So, we embarked upon a military buildup of Ukraine really starting in 1995. Ukraine, in my view, has been a de facto member of NATO. They've got everything. We've carried out more military exercises with Ukraine on Ukrainian soil than we have with 22 other members of NATO. Okay, there's now 28. Go ahead.
Why do you think they would deny Russia's attempt to join the NATO? Because they want to perpetuate wars?
Yes. Yeah, that's how we make money.
Right.
This you look at it this way. The United States has never really suffered significant losses in war. We always get all misty-eyed over World War II. In the European theater in World War II, Europe and North Africa, Total number of killed in action were 189,000. In the Pacific, total killed in action, and this is Marines, Army, sailors, airmen, 110,000. There were additional 113, 15,000 that died in accidents and from sickness, but I'm talking combat deaths. It was only 289,000 total, or 299,000. Comes in right almost at 300. Well, Russia, in the Battle of Stalingrad, that one battle alone, lost 900,000 soldiers in one battle. Now, we get up, we lose about 50,000 in the war in Korea. Hey, that's a year of car accidents in the United States, okay? And Vietnam, 12 years, 58,000. And I'm not disrespecting the families out there who lost loved ones in that war, but it didn't cost us a thing. We made money off of it. These defense industries, they got wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. And hey, two wars in Iraq. We lost, I think total deaths between Iraq and Afghanistan over, 20 years in Afghanistan, less than 5,000. Again, I'm not insulting or disrespecting the memory of those who died, but for God's sake,
It's
it's
big
nothing.
business. It's big business.
Hey, but what we allow 100,000 a year to die with fentanyl and
Right. Yo,
OxyContin.
I've heard it's even more than that. I have a friend that owns a rehabilitation clinic, and he was giving me the numbers. I couldn't believe it. He said it's over 150,000.
Yeah, I lost a nephew.
Right.
Died my house from a fentanyl overdose.
And a lot of
So,
these people don't even know what they're getting. They think it's a
right.
Xanax or an Adderall pill or whatever, and it's laced and they die. You
Yeah,
can even lace
that's
a weed now. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, nothing is safe. But
Yeah.
that's a completely different discussion. We'll talk a little bit of that later if you want to. But what about these peace deals that Trump's making? Obviously, he brought peace to Congo, the Congo in Africa. And with Iran, Israel, obviously, after we struck the nuclear facilities that I've heard he was neutralizing threats that the deep state would use against our country, as they use countries as proxies. What's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on the peace deals that Trump's putting forth right now? I mean, if you really wanted war, wouldn't he have perpetuated it with Iran and Israel and threw fuel on the fire instead of just striking it and saying, that's it, 12-day war is over?
Well, that's exactly what he did. So, right now, between Iran and Israel, only one country has signed the non-proliferation treaty.
That's Iran,
That's
right?
Iran.
Right. Yeah, because Israel still wants this.
Israel will not sign the non-proliferation treaty.
What is a
There's only
non-proliferation regime? And to not to for
to not build nuclear weapons.
right. So obviously Iran can't do it, but Israel can.
You're right. Yeah. No, those are so, but also follow me through with the International Atomic Energy Agency under the NPT does the inspection of nuclear sites to make sure that a country is complying and not building a nuclear weapon. Well, Iran allowed those inspections, had been allowing them since 2003,
And I
which,
and I and Israel will not allow those.
correct. So here, the United States was set to meet on Sunday, June 15th, in Oman, with Steve Witkoff and the Iranians to talk about coming up with a peace agreement, an agreement that ensure that the United States would be completely sure that Iran was not trying to build a nuke. And the reason they weren't building a nuke is it's a religious thing. It is against the Shia interpretation of Islam. So it was rejected as a fatwa, something that not an unholy act. Iran was more than willing to make that deal. They said, "Hey, you can come in. You can inspect our sites. You can put inspectors there." So that meeting is supposed to take place on the 15th, right? Donald Trump gives Bibi Netanyahu the green light to attack Iran. This was an unprovoked attack. Iran had not attacked Israel. This was And this wasn't just, the nuclear thing
So
was
they're
a
not trying to build
sideshow.
a nuclear bomb. Why do they have nuclear facilities enriching uranium?
Because they have nuclear power plants. And the isotopes, when you enrich it 20%, you're using that in medical isotopes for treating cancer.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. I mean, there's
Ooh,
so
that's
much.
even a bigger conspiracy right there, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just Iran has, Iran's never invaded or bombed a neighboring country. The only time in the last 46 years that Iran was invaded, that was invaded by Iraq. Who encouraged Iraq to invade Iran?
I would bet Bush.
That was us. Yeah.
Did I get
Start.
it? Did I guess
Yeah.
it? I mean, that would make sense to me.
George H.W. Bush.
Wow.
Well, actually, no, I take it back. It was Jimmy Carter and then Ronald Reagan.
Right, but they're all part of the same team.
And then we've got pictures of Don Rumsfeld, remember him, Secretary of Defense, with Saddam Hussein, because the United States provided Iraq with chemical weapons that were used in Iran. So this US-backed war in Iran cost the lives of 500,000 people. How do you think we'd feel if Iran gave Mexico chemical weapons and Mexico attacked us and killed 500,000 Americans? Think we'd have warm, fuzzy feelings?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So that's why I say, America's got to get over its hypocrisy on this, because they always like to pretend that we're minding our own business, doing nothing, and Iran just sucker punched us out of the blue. No, that's
Well, I've always
absolutely.
said if something happens now on American soil, it's going to be blamed on Iran. It's not going
Oh,
to be Iran.
absolutely. Absolutely. I
So at
think you're
least at that
absolutely
part,
right.
we agree on that
Oh,
100%.
a
Like
hundred
whatever
percent.
happens here, do you feel, as of right now, we are in a window of terrorism on in American soil? I mean, with everything happening within the deep state, with Trump, all the disagreements, do you feel like at any
Oh,
time
yeah.
now it's ripe for the taking?
Sure, it's a way to sucker Americans into giving up their civil liberties. Because we saw that happen with 9/11.
Patriot
And
Act.
again, understand, the ones that carried out 9/11 were funded by the Saudis. I mean, they were getting money out of
Right, and
the
that's who Trump's very and he struck these big deals with just recently,
Yeah.
right?
Well, and the Americans, we like to have, we really, we play a double game, because we claim, oh, Iran is sponsoring, it's helping fund Hamas and Hezbollah. Well, I can take you through the statistics on Hamas that since from 1999, August of 2000, excuse me, up to the present day, the total number of terrorist attacks in by the Palestinians in Israel, it was a little over 600. But of those, only 105 are attributed to Hamas. And that's not my statistics. That's from the Israeli Foreign Ministry. It's on their website. But now, notice the United States, we just helped install a new leader in Syria, a guy named al-Jalani. He was Muhammad al-Jalani. Now he's changed his name back to al-Shara. He was a member of ISIS. He attacked American soldiers. And yet we backed him and put him in power. So we've had a long history in the United States of playing this double game of funding terrorists so that they'd carry out attacks and help us accomplish some of our foreign
And
policy.
keep that boogeyman out there, right? The
Oh
perpetual war
yeah.
of terrorism.
Yeah, as long as
Because
you
it
got
goes
the
hand in hand with the Patriot Act and the funding of wars. And as long as you have that boogeyman terrorist out there, you continually can have wars.
Yeah, and you take away Americans' civil liberties. You take away your privacy. And they use the fear factor is used. The reality of the US relationship with Iran, Iran's attacks have always been provoked by us. Example, the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon, 1983, as well as bombing of the U.S. Embassy. Well, prior to that, Ronald Reagan had given permission for the U.S. battleship, the New Jersey, I believe it was, that was launching big shells into the Bekaa Valley, killing Shia women and children. That's why, that's why our Marines were killed and why our embassy got blown up. It was in retaliation for what we were doing. But see, we like to forget. We forget the fact that there was a democratically elected president in 1953 in Iran named Mossadegh. We got rid of him. Kermit Roosevelt was the CIA chief of station, led that operation to get rid of Mossadegh, and we installed the Shah. So we've been very active at these regime change. Let me just point out one other interesting oddity. In 1981, in February, Mossad went to the Reagan White House, accompanied by the CIA, and asked permission to sell U.S. weapons to Iran. Israel, because Iran tried to buy, those, we just blew up some Phantom F4 jets. Those jets were 60 years old, dude. I mean, they're old enough to be your father, okay? And so when the Ayatollah took over in 1979, and they had held the U.S. embassy personnel hostage for a year, Iran tried to buy tires for those F-4 jets. U.S. said, "Oh,
Want to
we're not
buy
giving that to
tires
you."
for them?
Yeah, they needed new tires, and so the U.S. said, "Oh, hell no, we're not doing that. We're mad at you." And then the Israelis came and said, "Hey, can we do it?" And we said, okay. And so from 1981 on, the U.S. was allowing weapons to be, and Israel was selling weapons to
Wow.
Iran because Israel hated Iraq at that time. Iraq was the big enemy, not Iran. And, that all came to a screeching halt in October 1986. I just started my work as an analyst on the Central America Project. And lo and behold, Eugene Huffenfuss gets shot down. They shoot down a CIA plane carrying weapons to the Contras, and that exposed the whole Iran-Contra affair with Ollie North selling
Oliver North, I remember that as a kid.
surface air missiles to the Iranians. So, like I said, the history is very, very complicated, but right now we're getting it all boiled down in like we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Except Trump could have stopped this attack on Iran. Instead, he allowed it to go forward. Israel carried out an incredible intelligence operation because what I guarantee you what they told Trump was, give us the green light. We're going to decapitate this Islamic regime. We're going to kill all these people in just one day. They'll collapse and we can put a new ruler in. And Trump believed him. Well, turned out, yeah, they killed a bunch of people. But within, and they disabled through a cyber war attack, disabled the computer network and the air defense network. And they thought it was going to be down for a week, which would have gave time just for Israel to run over them. The techs, the Iranian techs with Russian assistance, got it back up and running in 8 hours. And 4 hours later, Iran retaliated with ballistic missiles on Israel, and all of a sudden, Israel was exposed because their air
The
defense
Iron
system
Dome.
didn't work. The
Right.
so-called, yeah, it was
Well, it didn't
not.
work with the paragliders either. If you believe they really came from Gaza and Hamas, got to believe that first though, right? The paragliders that penetrated Iron Dome and went in and killed, I don't, it's just.
Yeah, it is. This war
So.
didn't turn out as Israel hoped it would,
It
and so,
caused more imbalance.
yeah. Well, what it's done is it punctured the myth of Israeli invincibility, but it also exposed the U.S. weakness, because this entire end the bombing. We've now learned that the Trump White House gave the Iranians a 2-hour heads up. Hey, we're coming. We're going to bomb these plants.
So
The
they really could
intelligence
have moved out a lot of important chemical.
not only could they did. It had already been removed. The amount that amount of material, which would have weighed about 7,000 pounds, you could load it up in the back of a Tacoma pickup truck. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. It's not, we're not talking massive numbers. We're talking a
And
package.
wasn't there radar images of this or satellite images? Sorry, satellite
Well,
images?
they had satellite images of trucks that looked like they were lining up, fully expecting the U.S. attack to fill in the entrances, to pack the entrances. So, if something's packed, it's more difficult to cave it in. But I know from talking to a friend who's still active in the intelligence community that the judgment of the intelligence community was all the enriched uranium, and this was before the attack, had already been removed. So, here's Trump saying they obliterated the sites. They didn't obliterate the sites. This was choreographed to create an off-ramp so that, again, we could declare victory and get Israel a ceasefire,
Yeah,
because
a lot
Israel,
of the, go ahead. Sorry.
I just say Israel is running out of missiles. They're
Yeah, they couldn't
aired.
sustain this war. I heard another 2 weeks. It would have been almost
Correct.
impossible.
Correct. Yeah, when you look at the damage Iran was doing, and Iran had ample supplies of ballistic missiles. Ample, because they manufacture them underground and they store them underground. We don't really have a good handle on how many. We've all got our estimates.
But we don't know.
Correct.
So you're saying that the enriched uranium was removed,
Yes.
no doubt about it. So when then, so this was all just theater.
Yes. And this isn't the first time it's
Could this
happened.
be used to expose Israel? Could expose Israel in the sense that, okay, now for us to send, it's time for us to send inspectors in to see your nuclear facilities, your program.
The last president that tried to do that was John F. Kennedy.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
What happened to him?
Yeah, correct. So, what do you think the big game is here? So, what's going to happen from here? So, Iran says, okay, we'll do the peace deal. You can come and inspect our nuclear facilities. Israel still is, are they still the puppet master as far as we can see?
Well, Israel certainly is pulling our chain, and Trump is dancing like a nice little organ grinder monkey to their tune. But see, David, this has more to do. This really isn't about nuclear enrichment. This isn't about Iran trying to get a nuke. This is about regime change, getting rid of the Islamic Republic, because they are now partners with Russia and China in an organization that's called BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. The reason Iran is so important is because of its oil supply and its supply of natural gas and its access to the Arabian Sea, the Gulf of Oman, and where it sits astride the Persian Gulf. The United States is facing, if you will, an existential economic threat from BRICS, because the countries of Russia, China, and many in the global South are moving away from wanting to using the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar is still sort of the primary currency, but these countries are now recognized as long as they rely on the U.S. dollar, they could be held hostage through sanctions. And that's what Russia demonstrated over the course of the last 3.5 years, since the start of that special military operation, as they call it, in Ukraine. Is the initial sanctions were claimed that they're going to destroy Russia, level it. Well, let's see, 2023, Russia grew 4.1%. 2024, Russia grew 4.4%. Now, this year, its growth rate is down to 1.5% because they're getting inflation under control, and so they're deflating the economy. But in terms of what they call purchasing power parity, Russia's got the fourth largest economy in the world.
Wow.
That means you can go there, you can live, you can li live quite well. Better than Japan, better than Germany, better than the United Kingdom, better than France.
Wow, I never knew that. I never knew
Yeah.
that. So let me ask you, I've always, I try not to be an echo chamber on my channel. I try to bring everyone's point of view, but everyone knows I'm a Trump supporter. I believe there's an operation at hand, but I'm not going to discuss that with you because I do admire your expertise and I respect it. I've always said when the pendulum swings left, it usually goes right. It's problem, reaction, solution. I kind of agree with David Icke on his theory of totalitarian tiptoe and how when it goes really far left, it's going to go really far right. And I'm kind of watching some things that are happening and it's raising some questions. Like the TSA all of a sudden gets this unchecked authority for people that are traveling in airports. The No Kings protests brings out the military. Which, I'm wondering, more protests are going to take hold and all these things. I start to wonder, is it the same game being played here? Like, is it the same game? Is the hand controlling both sides here? The two wings of the same bird. What's your view on that? Are we looking at something here that where the last administration caused all these problems to where this administration comes in, cleans it up, and takes us an inch? Or a foot closer to the totalitarian tiptoe or police state.
Well, we're already seeing it, unfortunately, with Republicans backing it. And let me just lay my bona fides out here.
Okay.
I'm the one that went to Devin Nunes on March 9th, 2017, to warn him how the intelligence community, not just the FBI, but also foreign intelligence, the Brits, were spying on Donald Trump and his team.
Hold on. You were the one that went to them? You went to Devin Nunes when?
It was March 9th, 2017.
I thought it was an Admiral Rogers who did that said that he was being spied on in the White House.
Well, Rogers was the head of NSA. He went to Trump and told Trump what was going on. But Devin had now been named. He was now the head of the House Intelligence Committee, the HPSCI. And I knew Devin because when he was first appointed to that committee, I believe it was 2012, my next door neighbor, I lived in Bethesda, Maryland at the time, was the largest defense lobbyist in DC. And he said, "Hey, I got this congressman. He doesn't know anything about intelligence. Would you go brief him?" I said, "Sure." So I went, I took a buddy of mine who'd also retired from the agency. And we had like a 2, 3 hour lunch with Devin, just giving him the rundown. So that's how I had access to Devin.
What did
And
Devin
I
know? How
saw
much did he know at that time?
nothing.
Zero.
Zero. Well, when I went in, I said, "Look, Devin," because it was the previous Saturday, Donald Trump had come out and said the FBI's spying on me. And then I had done, some TV commentary. At the time, actually, the only one who had interviewed me on it was Russia Today, the English news version of of Russian television. And I was interviewed by them on a Sunday, and so I called Devin and said, "Hey," texted him. I've got all the text messages still. I said, "I need to come talk to you about something." So I walked in. I said, "Look, you need to understand. Here's what's going on. This spying on Donald Trump started with the CIA. It started in the summer of 2015. And at the time, it wasn't just focused on Trump. It was spying on everybody, all the presidential candidates, Cruz, Marco Rubio, even Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
But as the primary went on, they narrowed in on Trump. However, British intelligence was cooperating and playing a major role in this. Why? It's illegal for the National Security Agency to spy on Americans. It's not illegal for the Brits to spy on Americans. So they started the spying, and then at their facility in England, it's called GCHQ, General Communications Headquarters, what the initials stand for. Sitting right next to the GCHQ guys are, or gals, are NSA guys and gals. And so it's just like, Oh, look, we collected this information. Pass it over.
Wow.
That's how it was going on. That's, I talked to George Papadopoulos like this because he didn't realize how he got set up. In the summer of, he was in London in August of 2015. And so he starts reaching out. He has Corey Lewandowski's number. And he gets in touch with Corey Lewandowski, Trump's campaign manager at the time. And said, I'd be interested in hooking up with you. Boy, after that, GCHQ intercepted that communication. Papadopoulos then became a target. And so out of the blue, like
Wow.
in February, late December, January, he gets offered a job as a vice president at this company. The company he was working for was front company, okay?
Jeez.
And at that time, they introduced him to this a guy named Joseph Mifsud. He's from Malta, a British intelligence asset. And he starts talking up Papadopoulos about the Russians. The entire effort to paint Trump as a buddy of Putin was started by the CIA and the
This is the
FBI in
Russia Gate.
conjunction. Yeah, in conjunction with, okay? They're all collaborating on this. But anyway, so this is what I explained to Devin. And I said, here's the name of the
You
person you
knew
need
all
to
about
talk to.
this.
Yes.
Wow.
I was writing about it at the time. Nobody paid attention to me. So armed with that information, Devin went, I think 3 or 4 days later, to the White House. If you recall, that was in March of 2017. When he came out of that meeting, out of the White House, he was attacked by reporters. And then they kept going after him. But based on that information, he then turned Kash Patel loose to do the
Have they
investigation.
tried to
But
contact you? Go ahead.
I'm the one that started that.
Have they tried to reach out to you? Because I know that Kash Patel has made references to Russiagate saying, get ready for
No.
major arrests and things like that. Have they
No.
even tried to reach out to you for any kind
Nope.
of nothing?
No good deed goes unpunished, my friend.
I live by that. That's one of my favorite
Yeah.
sayings.
Yeah. So,
So they have not reached out to
it
you at all. You'd be like,
no.
to me, one of the really.
Yeah. It is, I mean, Devin, I still have occasional communication with Devin. But they never called me back in to say, okay, hey, help us flesh this out, help us
So does
identify
that tell you that they're really
it.
trying to do
Ding,
nothing?
ding, 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 ding,
Winner,
winner.
winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're going to get all the JFK files released, right? They haven't released them. Going to get all the Jeffrey Epstein files, right? Haven't released them. And now, look, so I'm not here to attack Trump. I
No,
voted
and
for the man.
you're on a big Trump channel right now, but I try to not be an echo chamber. I like to listen to all points of views and intel. So this is very valuable to me and my audience, and I really hope they're paying attention here because I like to bring it all. I bring on everybody, and I find this very valuable. So I thank you so much for what you're doing.
Now, it's just, release the information. Release the
100%, I agree with
information.
you on that. What are we waiting for?
I mean, one of the main reasons they're holding the JFK files back is because Israel is directly implicated in that.
Wow, that's what I've heard.
And it's and I'm not, I'm not manufacturing this out of whole cloth. The month
Hold
before,
on, but we can't talk about that on YouTube, by the way.
oh, we can't?
No,
Oh,
believe it or
okay.
not. So, but I know what you're getting at. I know where you're pointing fingers. I know that for a fact. We can talk about it more on Nino's Corner.tv if you want to go there and talk about it. I would love to talk dive into all of it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
But let's talk more about. Okay, let's talk more about let's kind of shift gears for a second because here we are, you know.
Well, actually, let me finish. I was going to tell you that how this was a choreographed ending to this 12-day war. In
Right.
2017, there were reports that Syria had used chemical weapons on its people, and in response to that, Donald Trump ordered a strike. We're all going to show them. And the same thing happened in 2018. Those were all staged events.
Peace.
The chemical weapons were done by British intelligence. working with this group called the White Helmets. It was a false flag event in order to get the United States to militarily attack. However, I knew it from friends I had at the time who were in the operations center at Al Udeid Air Force Base that the general who was running that air operations center got on the phone with his Russian counterpart to say, "Hey, Vladimir, listen, we're going to be bombing this airfield here in about 8 hours. So you might want to, clear out your personnel and get any sensitive equipment out. Again, because we're going to be attacking with this number of missiles and we're going to come in." You gave them all the information. It was all coordinated.
Yeah, they
So,
let them know.
yeah. And we did the same
They
in
send a
2018.
telegraph before they
We
do
did
it.
the same in, same in 2018. So what happened here? Trump lets the Iranians, "We're coming to bomb. We're going to have a big show." And
So
then the Iranians then said, "Okay, we're going to attack Al Udeid. Get all your people out."
Qatar, you're
Just,
talking about.
that's in Al Udeid Air Force Base. That's right outside of Doha,
Okay, so where are we
Qatar.
at now? Do you see, and then we'll take this back to ninoscorner.tv if you don't mind, because I really want to dive deep into this stuff that we can't talk about. I'm fluffed to, but where do you see us now in this window of time? Do you see a terrorist event happening in America?
I think the risk of a false flag is very high. And that it will be blamed on Iran, with Iran not being the culprit, and it'll be used as a justification for us to continue attacks on Iran. But as we saw, you remember what we tried to do with the Houthis, and this shows you it's the limitation on the ability of the U.S. military to, finish a deal. We fought 20 years in Afghanistan. We couldn't pacify the place. 20 years.
And
And it
then we
wasn't
just
because
gave
we,
him everything.
it wasn't, we said, "Well, we just didn't try hard enough." Look, you're too young to remember Vietnam. I do. That was our excuse at the end of Vietnam. We just didn't try hard enough. Well, we tried plenty hard. So first Lloyd Austin under Joe Biden, they launched Operation Prosperity Guardian, and they start attacking the Houthis. And so for 15 months from, December of 2023, until Trump is inaugurated in January of 2025, the U.S. had a we had an aircraft carrier stationed there with the destroyers, and we were bombing, trying to stop the Houthis from interfering with ships. Couldn't do it. So Trump comes in and says, "I'm going to show them." They just didn't. They weren't trying hard enough. Now during that 15-month period, the Houthis shot down one Predator drone, MQ-9 Reaper, a month, one a month.
Damn.
So they had down 15 in 15 months. They had down 15 Predator drones, and the reason for those drones was when you've got mobile missile launchers out running around the mountains and valleys and deserts, you got to have something that's on top of it real time, giving you live imagery so that then you can actually have a good chance of hitting it. Because otherwise, you can't see it, can't hit it. So that's why those drones were over there. That's why they were getting shot down. So Trump comes in and says, "By God, we're going to do it. We're going to go show those Houthis," and launched the operation. It was still under Prosperity Guardian, but they put a different name on it. And over 7 weeks, the ensuing 7 weeks, the Houthis shot down one Predator drone a week. So they went from doing one a month to one a week. You say, "Well, so what?" Those are $30 to $35 billion a piece.
Damn.
So
Damn.
you shoot down seven in 7 weeks.
Wow. Do the math.
All of a sudden, you're up to almost $250 million. Okay. So then on top of it, we lost two or three F-18 Hornets, and those airplanes, at least two got dropped in the ocean. The third one crashed. So that brought up between that and then all the missiles we were firing, we were up well over $1 billion in just 7 weeks. So remember, Trump declared victory. "Hey, the Houthis have capitulated. Sayonara, we're out of here. We pulled out of the Red Sea." Well, the Houthis didn't capitulate. They had a victory celebration. They had a parade. And they continued to fire missiles into Israel. They just fired another one yesterday. And they continue to shut down the Red Sea. Any ship that's heading to Israel, they're not allowing it to pass. Now, what did we accomplish? What we accomplished was showing the world that these Houthis stopped the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force.
Wow.
Now, once again, I don't know why Trump did it, to go out and say, we obliterated it. You know, my attitude is, let's say you did, downplay it.
Yeah.
Underplay it. Don't overplay it. You're not trying to sell me a piece of property. In fact, say, oh no, man, I'm not sure what we did.
Right.
Let them tell the story, because
So,
it doesn't strengthen our strategic position to be out front saying, oh man, we obliterated it, and then watch, in 2 or 3 weeks, those sites are going to be up and running, maybe.
do you think there's going to be a terrorist attack on our soil that sucks us back into this war?
I think it's definitely possible, yes. Just as happened on 9/11.
Okay, so I've heard it could be that size or even bigger with all the immigrants that have come through the southern border that could be activated. That the next attack could be something like we've never seen before.
Yeah, I've I'm not sure, what they call sleeper cells and activation. From the standpoint of a lot of the skills, whether you're building explosives or shooting firearms, I mean, those are the two categories we're looking at here. Those are perishable skills. You've got to be able to maintain that, and you maintain it by being able to, exercise or do those activities. Now, maybe some of these shooters have gone, some of the potential sleeper cells are active members at a fire, gun range somewhere and regularly shooting. That could be. But again, when these attacks take place, it is usually, it's usually designed, it has more of a purpose politically, domestically, to get Americans where they're saying, okay, yeah, we'll give up our civil rights.
The totalitarian tiptoe.
Yeah, you can spy on us. If we say the wrong thing, you can arrest us. If you enter a government building and we decide we want to call that an insurrection, then we're going to call that an insurrection and make you criminals
Right.
for peacefully protesting. And
Like
we're
what happened?
yeah, and we're with that's I was avoiding talking about that, but that's
Yeah,
exactly
but
what I
we
was
could,
talking about.
yeah.
And we've seen such a double standard there, where these leftist groups get to storm state capitals, and they even storm the U.S. Capitol,
Cities.
and
Riot and burn down cities.
they're not put in prison now. I but again, I come down on we need to protect the civil liberties even of those we dislike. There was a back in 1978, was it 78, 79? Supreme Court ruled in favor of a group of neo-Nazis who were allowed to march in Joliet, Illinois. Now, this section of Illinois had a lot of survivors of the Holocaust, and a heavy Jewish presence. But nonetheless, the Supreme Court back then ruled that those marchers could march. Now, I'm not endorsing what they were marching for at all. But part of the strength of our country is that we could entertain even those with repugnant views, because we believe, more importantly, in the principle of free speech and liberty. Now, I come at it, I'm a 16th 1600 American. From this standpoint, my first relatives started showing up around 1620, 1621. And continued to arrive. My fifth great uncle was the Secretary of the Continental Congress, so Charles Thompson. So, I had 28 ancestors that fought in the American Revolution. So I value this country, what it stands for, what it's supposed to stand for. But that's when I get and start speaking out when we go astray of our values. And, it's one thing, like with protests that have erupted, we're very selective at who gets to protest what.
Right.
There are certain countries and certain protests that you're not allowed to do, and others where you are allowed. And it's just, my attitude is I believe firmly in the freedom of speech, no
Yeah,
matter
as do I.
how objectionable it is.
Larry, I appreciate you coming on. This was amazing. I'm going to put this up on YouTube. The uncensored, unedited version will be on ninoscorner.tv, folks. Could we do a part two on this? Can we continue this conversation on ninoscorner.tv? Would you mind?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I appreciate you. Stay with me, sir. Larry Johnson,
Okay.
where do people go to find you? Or do you have a
Yeah, I'm at sonar21.com. SONAR 21.com. That stands for Son of the New American Revolution, 21st Century.
24 or 21?
21, 21.
Okay. So sonar21.com. And numbers
Correct.
2121?
Yep.
Got it. Sonar21.com. I'll put it there at the bottom of the video, folks. Click on it. Support them. Give them a follow. Larry, stay with me just for a second.
Okay.
God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir.